I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché.
You go right, you go right, you go left, you go right, you go right, you go right, you go left, you go right.
It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. In studio with me, Touche, Chris Roebling and Dave Lundy. They're back for the official kickoff of the presidential campaign season.
I got to say this.
Ludicrous.
Let labor stand and walk abroad and take its place with kings. For who has labored more than God, the maker of all things? That was the couplet that my grandfather commissioned to be on the masthead of the McLean County Labor Record. Oh. 115 years ago.
Wow. Which just goes to show you, Chris actually does have heritage with heart, even if Chris has forgotten all of it at this point.
All right, let's get right to it.
One might say, touche!
Touche. All right, so the big news today is this is somewhat the official, which is so outdated, but the idea of this being the official kickoff for the presidential campaign. 9 weeks left. Polls. A lot tightening up. We saw Clinton with 7 points, 11 points, 12 points, wherever you look. Now it's tightened up. It's gotten closer. Some even say dead heat. How much should we be paying attention to as the polls start to get closer and closer to the real showdown, which is October?
Well, I mean, I think obviously you don't want to look at one poll and say this poll is the definitive poll.
Wouldn't that be great if we could?
Yeah, but there's no such thing. That's why CNN does a poll. You know, they do their own poll and then they do a poll of polls, and you know, they got the Real Clear Politics average and all the rest of the stuff. There's no doubt that there's been tightening. Hillary Clinton took the last 2 weeks of August, and she did almost nothing but fundraising, other than a speech she gave to the American Legion on American exceptionalism, which, by the way, was a great speech that pretty much nobody covered. Exactly.
Now, so, if she would have coughed.
Exactly. Had she coughed, which I just did, by the way, on the air, so you know what that means. Dun, dun, dun.
I think we need to see your medical record.
Exactly.
Are you healthy enough to be here?
But Chris, this is good news for Trump, because there was a point a couple weeks ago that it felt like for him to resign.
We'll take it, but the truth is that guys like Dave look closely at the polls and find out the following. Hillary's been decaying. Trump has not been expanding. So what you see is Trump sort of going along, which at least he's not decaying. So my standpoint, that's good.
But other Hillary, than mentally.
With the revelations, not only was she out fundraising with ultra-rich people, UNHWIs, ultra-high net worth individuals. So that's her happy hunting ground for these big contributions from people like Cher or Paul McCartney or John Bon Jovi or somebody like that. Anyway, she was out doing that, but the FBI was putting out information about her and there was scandals, which we'll get to in a second. The good thing for Trump is that he is now up in one recent poll, a very big, serious poll, by 20 points with independents. So he's doing 3 or 4 times better with independents today than Mitt Romney was doing. And that could be, in the long run, that could be very helpful to Trump. But it's still early, and polls are best to show kind of movement and trends, right, but not definitive results.
Okay, so this week, I mean, if we kick off today, there was Hillary Clinton defending her health, as we saw. She's opening up to reporters on her plane. They both got nice planes. And then the other story, of course, Trump kind of going off script when it comes to foreign policy and going after Clinton when it comes to, I guess, the idea of what foreign leaders think of her.
Well, I mean, I think that there's two big stories from the Clinton campaign's perspective. Number one is that the press, the supposedly all-friendly press that always gives Hillary a pass, except for the fact that they've been hammering her relentlessly for months and years on the email stuff. But other than that, the press is finally looking again at the fact that Donald Trump is a crook. And in January and December and the entire primary campaign, Donald Trump defended his past contributions by saying, hey, if I put money into a politician's pockets, they will kiss my... And he, you know, said the A word in his rallies. And he said that he could get whatever he wants. Maybe it's not today. Maybe it's 2-3 years later. Well, right. lo and behold, the only actual proven pay-to-play so far is that the Trump Foundation gave an illegal contribution, and this is not my assertion, this is the IRS's assertion, they paid a fine, because foundations are not allowed to make political contributions. So the Trump Foundation gave a political contribution to the Florida Attorney General in response to her call asking for $25,000 at a
right.
time when she was
investigating
Trump University, and then lo and behold, the contribution happened and the investigation was
that seems
dropped.
Too. I mean, and there's a lot of people who will go, you know, will skirt her, and Trump himself will defend it, because it sounds almost too ludicrous. The idea that she's like, "Well, I'm about to investigate. Let me call and see if I can get some money out of it." I mean, it just seems.
If this was Clinton, you would say, "Oh my God, this raises horrendous appearances."
Yeah, I would say that. I don't know if Justin
and Chris would go
I would
off the deep end, and all the press love, would love, go love, nuts, love. And no, oh my
no,
God,
no, wait, wait, wait.
And Trump, they haven't paid any yeah. attention to this thing.
You gotta say, yeah.
Well. I mean, Trump shouldn't have done it, or the Trump Foundation shouldn't have done it. And I didn't Biondi or Bondi or whatever her name is, the Florida Attorney General, give it back. She gave it back.
No, right? No. She never disgorged it. Trump reimbursed the foundation out of his pocket, well, which was good. Probably the first time he gave money to the foundation in 10 years.
Well, obviously that shouldn't happen. And everybody knows it shouldn't happen, and that should not have happened. So that was bad that happened. And, you know, let's smack
yeah, but it's,
his
but
knuckles.
It's, but it's but on I, the same with the Clinton Foundation.
That is, zilch-o compared to the, you know, the two big scandals that are haunting the Hillary campaign, one of which is about the foundation and its ability to influence her schedule at the State Department, and also, I believe, the policy results at the State Department.
No evidence.
No, there is
no evidence about influencing policy, only about did she actually have meetings with people who also gave money to the Clinton Foundation.
Okay. David is now referring only to the most recent reporting and ignoring Clinton Cash, which has not been.
Clinton Cash has been a completely discredited book. Most of his sourcing was horrendously bad. It was shamed out of existence.
That is
except on your network, the Fox Network.
My network is not the Fox Network. And that
it's going to be the Breitbart Trump Network.
And that is not what happened. But the point is, Hillary has these two big scandals. Number one is about the foundation, and number two is about the emails. And the very big development today, which we might as well talk about, you know, we now have established, thanks to the FBI's disclosure last week, that in the month of March 2015, in a series of events, we went from, you know, litigation hold letters from some committees in Congress to a very specific litigation hold from Trey Gowdy, which was followed the very next day by a subpoena, which was acknowledged by the State Department and Secretary Clinton, and which then Secretary Clinton's staffers held a series of conversations with the people, the purveyors who were physically holding on to the emails, and authorized in less than 2 weeks' time after the subpoena, the destruction of emails that had been identified in the subpoena and in the letter from Gowdy and in prior litigation hold letters. Now, this is the most conclusive series of events in a specific period of time where law enforcement, or in this case, the United States Congress, has said, do not destroy anything. And we now have incontrovertible FBI approved evidence that they went and destroyed things. So there.
No,
we haven't even gotten to Julian Assange and the continuous release of emails, which is going to go on between now and pretty much the election.
Dave?
Well, number one, it's not incontrovertible. What the FBI report said is that, because I actually read the report.
I have read almost all of it.
Well, okay. I have read the report. And what the FBI report said is that an outside contractor.
That's the people that I'm talking about.
An outside contractor had an oops moment, an oh darn moment, when he realized that he was supposed to have deleted, because that was the standard course of practice, to delete things every, I think, 6 months or whatever, and had forgotten to and went and deleted it. There's no evidence that's been presented that he was ordered to, or that anybody told him to, or that it was discussed.
I don't think David is up to speed. What happened is
I read it.
There is an absolute link.
It's
between
English.
There is an absolute link between a conference call that took place with Cheryl Mills, David Kendall, a representative of the purveyor, and one other figure. And then less than 5 days later, a purchase order was issued by the Clintons to destroy those emails. And less than 10 days after that, so on the 25th of March, 2015, the purveyor destroyed emails.
If it happened in the way you just described, she would have been indicted and so would a whole bunch of other people. That did not happen.
Actually, she was not a part of the phone call, David. I don't know how much.
Fine, other people would have been indicted
Congressman Chaffetz is now demanding. He is demanding that they answer for this because basically I think the FBI has done the country a favor by not indicting her because it just would have gone to Loretta Lynch. Loretta Lynch would have buried it in the bottom of her, you know, right-hand drawer, desk drawer.
FBI doesn't indict.
And
you are distracting from the fact that your candidate does not know his head from the hole in the ground, which we'll get to in the next segment.
Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling. We're playing Touche here Monday nights. Now Tuesday night is a Labor Day special.
It's a special.
Special Touche.
Special edition.
We'll be right back.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
Touche! Chris Roebling and Dave Lundy here on 720 WGN. Download. I'm Justin Kaufman. Okay, so let's get past scandals for a sec, if we can, and get to some of the things that are going on when it comes to the candidates giving us their ideas, their platforms. Let's first talk about, foreign... I'm trying to think like what...
Foreign policy?
But I'm trying to think what today was for Donald Trump, because Donald Trump had an interview where... A retired general interviewed him, and he talked about he mostly talked about the Hillary Clinton.
It was a campaign event, and he decided to try to be interviewed by General Flynn, who is a big supporter of his. He almost put him on the ticket, and is also a paid consultant for RT, the Russian news service. But in any event, when he was asking, so General Flynn was asking him softball questions because that's the whole point of this.
Like what? What's
like he asked him about cybersecurity.
Okay.
So he asked him about cybersecurity, and Trump's response was, you know, cyber is becoming so big today. It's becoming something that a short number of years ago, wasn't even a word. Now cyber is so big, you know what they're looking. And he goes on, and he clearly had no idea. He was asked about her immigration and security policy. He had no idea. He kept changing the subject or going back to his platitudes or going back to his, you know, empty assertions. And this is where I have expected the real problem's going to come, because he has taken no time to actually study this stuff, unlike, you know, governors who often will get into the presidential race that don't know anything about foreign policy. They'll take time to learn. Trump hasn't taken the time to learn. And now is where the rubber meets the road, and that becomes a
Chris,
problem.
Chris, let me ask you that, because you've been down on this candidate before. Just the idea that, you know, sometimes he gets off script. He talks in platitudes.
Well, and I think that he's offended a lot of people unnecessarily.
Does he run the risk in this case of
boorish behavior?
Like the answer we just heard, the cyber stuff, where you get to September now where you're like, we need to hear what your thoughts are on this, not just, you know, weird answers and how Hillary Clinton's
I feel terrible. A little shaky relying on Dave for impartial reporting on this. But
I'm just reading the article.
Going with what Dave has said, I'm concerned about it. But I think that's, for instance, you take a look at that compared to two things. Number one, what he did on the immigration thing, where I think it is obvious you might not like his position. I'm sure Dave doesn't agree with a lot of it or whatever.
I don't know which position you mean.
Many of his 10 points that he presented in the Phoenix speech. But even if you don't like what he says, you've got to say that was a very clear and a very substantive and a very well thought out speech. And it came on the day that he had gone down to Mexico and met with the president, and they had their conversation and they had their press conference afterwards. So I think that he is focusing on things at a different rate. That's certainly what Kellyanne Conway has said. But I think the other thing to which you must compare this stuff is, really, and this breaks my heart as an American, although I was warning about it 8 years ago, a lot of good that did. But we really had a Barack Obama humiliation tour in Asia over the last 4 or 5 days. He was humiliated by the Chinese at the airport. He was humiliated by the Filipino president. He was humiliated by Putin. He is humiliated in front of the entire Pacific region because he was absolutely, to his everlasting credit, I might point out, and against many of the currents in his own party, and that gives him even more credit in my head, to the Trans-Pacific Partnership. He promised it. He said he would enact it. Now he hasn't gotten it through. And he's got both Trump and Hillary Clinton against it. Hillary said it was the gold standard. That's just another Hillary flip-flop. But Barack Obama goes to these international events now somewhat naked for his lack of diplomatic achievement.
So at some point in this, in the remaining 60 some odd days, Chris and maybe Donald Trump will recognize that Barack Obama is not actually on the ballot, and they'll start running against the actual candidate, which is Hillary Clinton, well, who has,
Hillary
by the way,
the
not been Secretary
of
State. She was not the architect of this disaster.
She
yeah.
was the architect
yeah, she was the,
of our
like
reset
Chris Christie,
with
she
Russia.
Was there with the cones
what
pulling
exactly,
out the stairs.
No, what exactly? What, who was the architect of our reset with Russia? Any history book worth
so
its salt will say it was Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Changing the subject
no,
because
no,
you don't like
was,
to defend what I'm saying.
He was humiliated by Russia. She was the architect of the reset with Russia. He was humiliated by China. She was our Secretary of State. I mean, either these people are responsible for something. I know you spent the first term blaming Bush for Barack's inability to increase the economy, which he still can't do based on last week's employment numbers. And now you want to say Hillary was Secretary of State, but she can't.
By the way, now you see where Donald Trump learns his, I'm not going to answer the question. I'm just going to go to 14 other
no,
reasonably related or unrelated
so,
points.
People are so sick
but Chris,
and tired of this
but
failure.
Chris,
they're listening to a guy like Donald Trump. God bless him.
For the record, he was not humiliated by the Filipino leader. The Filipino leader, who, by the way, they call the Filipino Donald Trump because he also was elected knowing nothing. And he's a nut job, just like your candidate, Donald Trump. The Filipino leader apologized for it the next day for saying, if I see him, I'm going to call him a son of a whatever and start swearing at him. He's off his rocker. And so you're blaming Barack Obama. And yet Barack Obama did exactly what he was supposed to do, which is cancel the meeting. What Donald Trump suggested that he would do if he were in the position that Barack Obama was in China is he said he would have pulled up the stairs and taken off and left the meeting of the entire Asian Rim nations. And that is exactly the kind of impulsive, reflex-laden foreign policy that you can expect from a guy who has no impulse control.
That is
a problem. And diplomats will tell you that this happens in China all the time. It happened to Bush. It happens to Obama. They like to test. It's a game that they play, but it doesn't change the ultimate purpose of what he's doing.
Absolute poppycock from David. They did this to Barack Obama.
I prefer malarkey.
It's absolute malarkey from David. They did it on his first visit, his first time that he went, I think, in 2009. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it to him on his last visit. Now, David can explain that away, or he can blame George Bush or George Herbert Walker.
Or I can point out the fact that your candidate doesn't know anything about foreign policy, and you still have not responded to that.
Well, I think he knows a hell of a lot more than the folks who cannot manage the relationship with China, nor the relationship with Russia, cannot.
Well, he said no. He knows
Syria.
More about fighting ISIS than the generals do. So, of course, we should just believe him because he relies on his big brain.
We have got a person as president whose Secretary of State is now on the ballot, who is saying in 2016 at this summit in September of 2016. It turns out there are many gaps between us and the Russians working together on Syria. This is Jimmy Carter Redux. Jimmy Carter in 1980 said,
here goes another history lesson to avoid the question.
I did not know how seriously opposed to us the Soviets really were. It's the same thing with Barack Obama
is not on the ballot.
Hillary Clinton was his Secretary of State, and she is running for the third Barack Obama term.
Foreign policy. Hillary Clinton has been way more hawkish than... Oh, that was interesting. Hillary Clinton has been way more hawkish on foreign policy than Barack Obama has. You know that. And you know that Hillary was advocating in Syria for the kinds of things that you were advocating
Trump was advocating
against.
She did such a great job. She won none of her arguments. So anyway, we're talking about somebody who says, make me the president. I can be bamboozled into voting for Iraq by George Bush, the pinhead. Or make me the president. I spent 15, 20, 30 years of my life at the peak of American government, and I still don't understand what classified information is. I mean, David, really, when are you going to understand that this woman is a career criminal?
career criminal, thank you, as opposed to Donald Trump, the career scam artist who tried not once, not twice, but three times to con ordinary people out of their money with Trump University, Trump Network, and Trump Institute.
So you think
and who,
that,
by the way, declared bankruptcy six times and ripped off middle, small business people all over the East Coast, now of whom who are saying, I had to fire people. People lost their livelihoods and people committed suicide because my business was driven into bankruptcy because Donald Trump refused to pay me because he has no honor.
What did Vince Foster do?
He has no honor.
I want to ask you this question. So your position is we ought to elect the person who doesn't understand classified information.
She does understand classified information.
But that's not what she said.
None of those documents were properly marked. And by the way, let's talk about the FBI report just for a second. I know we're almost out of time. But the FBI report said something really interesting that nobody has covered. All these emails, these horrible, horrible emails, were confined to 13 people. 13 people were exchanging emails in this. It was a closed loop.
Hold on. Okay, you got your point in. Let me get my point in. Hillary, who you want to have as our president because she's so smart and so liberal and so female, Hillary was so dumb.
Excuse me?
She goes
Excuse me?
She goes and she uses her BlackBerry.
I guess this is what your candidate said today when he said that Hillary just doesn't look like a president.
There's the bell. We just heard the bell.
Chris Rowling.
Dave Lundy, the bell has rung. Touche.
All of her secrets away to the red Chinese.
This is like the end of Rocky II. Oh, they can't separate them here. Touche, Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling back on Monday. We'll be back.